One love, one heart. Let's get together and feel alright.
Hear the children crying.
One love.
Hear the children crying.
One heart. Saying give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel alright. Saying let's get together and feel alright. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Let them all pass all their dirty remarks. There is one question I'd really love to ask.
One heart, is there a place for the hopeless sinner who has hurt all mankind just to save his own?
Believe it.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We are back to discuss, what is this, episode 5 of season 2? Called Never Been Kissed? Something like that?
Week 10, episode 5.
That's right, but it feels like way longer into the season.
Yeah, it feels like we've been... That's actually episode 6. My biggest complaint about this season has nothing to do with actual content on the show. My biggest complaint this season is that all the breaks between episodes, we get an episode, we get a week off, we get an episode, we get 2 weeks off. And because of that, I feel like I haven't been able to get any momentum with Glee. Mm. Like last season, the episodes came so quick that it was like, it just became, you know,
okay, well,
the episodes quick, built on each other.
Quick is an operative term. We did have one episode practically like 7 months before the next episode.
Yeah, but between like episode 1 and episode 2, yeah, there was a giant hole. But then between episode 2 and episode 9, episode 11, it was just straight through and mm-hmm. with no breaks. And so it was like each episode made the next one more exciting and you mm-hmm. always were looking forward to the next thing. And at the end of every episode, it would be like next week and you'd be like, oh, I'm excited. But this time, you know, we had a couple episodes, we had a 2 week break. We had the Britney episode, we had a break. We had Rocky Horror, and then we had a break. I mean, it's getting kind of tiresome to me.
It is hard. And I think, like, comparing it to the beginning of last season, which was the first season, is kind of unfair because it was also a new show. We were learning about everybody and everything. And
true.
And the steady storylines this season aren't as time sensitive, I think, is the issue. They're kind of an ongoing thing versus like last year there was a pregnancy and a false pregnancy and other things, and you know, this year a lot of the focus seems to be on Kurt and people's acceptance of him, and that's never going to have a conclusion. That's like something he's going to have to... It's always going to be there. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. It isn't only the week-to-week, you know, right. issue that I'm having. It's also, there's just a lack of narrative momentum this time, yeah. you know, where before we were pushing towards sectionals. It was all sectionals every single episode.
Yeah.
And then it was regionals every single episode. And now it's kind of like, they finally mentioned sectionals. This is the first time.
Well, episode 6. They're gonna win sectionals. It's like IMDb.
Yeah, but I understand that they will, but at the same time, you know, it's like from a viewer standpoint, from a narrative standpoint, we don't have something pulling us from episode to episode. The episodes, at least the first 6, have been pretty encapsulated. You could almost trade up the order on these 6 episodes, and it wouldn't affect the storyline all that much.
I think that's going to change, though, with the introduction of new characters.
Oh, as soon as we got John Stamos on the show, I was like, all right, now we're going to get some narrative momentum. And, you know, now that we've got Darren Criss, maybe we'll get some narrative momentum. I'd just like to point out that to all of the fangirls, at 4:29, I dropped his name.
Yes.
So pay attention. I did not know the immense following that Darren Criss had. Were either of you aware of the following this guy has?
Well, I knew Harry Potter musical was very popular. That's pretty much my extent of lunch.
Yeah, that was pretty much all I knew about before actually watching this episode. And since then, I've actually done some reading on him. You're looking at me like,
It's no. okay. It's but not Zach still, Levy. It's
you're
just
still
Darren
not
Criss.
The last person to hear of him. So don't
no,
worry.
That would be my mother. In 4 or 5 years, my mother will be like, have you heard about this Darren Criss? He's amazing. And 2 years after that, it'll be my dad going, have you heard about this Darren Criss? Your mother's all into it.
He sang the song that my friend wrote.
Oh, God. We can't tell that no. story on the podcast. That's
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Story.
Okay.
So anyway, I had no idea.
New characters.
Yes, I had no idea the following that this guy has. And he has a monstrous following. And I have learned a lesson in doing the podcast that I will teach to Ed and Jennifer and all of the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck with Harry Potter fans. They are hard.
Are you going to bleep that?
No, sorry. That's going in the show.
I think you should.
This is the lesson I've learned. So to all of the Darren Criss fans, good on you. You guys are passionate, and that's awesome. And wow, I apologize deeply.
I'm glad I haven't checked our Gmail in a while. Should I be concerned?
You're fine. But, you know, I did drop his name, so let's go ahead and discuss. You know, we pretty much dove right into Never Been Kissed. We didn't even bother to say good evening. But let's go ahead and talk a little about Darren. He came in Kurt's plotline this week. Kurt's plotline being his continuing harassment from Kurovsky.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
I only saw the episode once, which is tragic. I wanted to watch it more, but life is busy. So, did Kurt like make a? Did he say he was going to go spying? Because all I remember is him was Will Schuster announcing who the two teams they're playing against. Okay, playing. Okay, whatever. Get over yourself.
Competing.
Then.
Yes.
And competing, and then and then all of a sudden Kurt was just there, and I was like,
oh, actually. Yep.
Did he announce that?
He didn't announce it, but do you remember when he had the costuming sample boards up for the
yes.
guys? And then the guys were like, you know, of course you want to do this and that, and he got upset. And then I think it was Puck who said, why don't you do something useful, like go kill one of the, you know, or like accidentally kill, I forget what he said. He said something about the elderly, and then he said, or go spy on the, you know, the boys' school.
I didn't catch that either. That is a
yeah.
good catch.
So
Jennifer.
That is why he went.
Well, good job.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
I watched the show. I did watch it a couple times.
I hear about it. I don't really watch it.
It's like, I've never seen
it. I read about it on Oh No They Didn't, and then...
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much my entire knowledge is off her Oh No They Didn't.
Yeah, the only thing I know about Glee is people complaining about photographs on Fox News. That's the extent of my knowledge. We got to see Darren, and his character's name was Blaine, which I will forget. So I apologize, but I did remember Kurovsky's name. That
I'm
was
impressed.
Impressive.
That one took me a couple of watches to get.
We've seen Kurovsky a lot of times in the show, but he was not with his friend this time. He
yes.
usually has the large, the other dude who follows him around. But so Kurovsky's been manipulating or been harassing Kurt. Kurt went over to the boys' school and met Blaine, and they discussed, you know, a bit of Blaine's backstory. Blaine and his crew performed Teenage Dream, which has to be the fastest turnaround for a song on Glee. That song's got to be, what, 3 months old? 4 months old? I don't even know if it's a single yet. Ed, what did how did you feel about Teenage Dream being so quickly turned around?
You know, I appreciated it. Like, yeah, we don't know if it has any shelf life, but neither do we know about Katy Perry.
Let me just tell you right now, Ed, it has no shelf life. Darren Criss's version.
But I will say, what I will say about it is I really liked, well, like they did with Toxic. I liked how they mixed it up. It wasn't just like Slay for You, where it was like pretty much the exact same. Mm-hmm. And they really changed it. And according to Oh No They Didn't, which is the only reason I watch Glee lives, but whatever. apparently, Teenage Dream is the fastest, or is the biggest debut for Glee song ever.
Wait, say that again?
You broke up their biggest debut for a Glee song?
Yes, for like in terms of sales.
Like, oh, wow. I said, don't F with Harry Potter fans. You guys are hardcore.
Like, the clue was Don't Stop Believing, but Teenage Dream surpassed that.
Wow. Well, you know, it was a pretty unique performance on the show. I, 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 I'm sure that it's happened before, but this was really stood out to me as being a purely a cappella vocal performance. Mm-hmm. With a lot of voices. It was odd not to have any of the Glee core in the performance.
Well, there's been Vocal Adrenaline. There's been that school for the girls. And you have the... this isn't the first time.
No, I didn't say it was the first time. I'm just saying it's a little weird. You know, it's definitely out of the ordinary
of the 130
songs on this show.
You wanted Kurt and Blaine just, like, duetting it and somehow... What do you want?
Weirder things have happened on this show. That's all I'm going to say. Well, we've talked about it enough. Let's go ahead and give a listen to Teenage Dream as performed by, I guess, they call it the Glee cast version, but the only member of the cast was Darren. So here's a bit of Teenage Dream. Think I'm funny when I tell the punchline wrong. I know you get me, so I let my walls come down, down. Before you met me, I was alright, but things were kinda heavy. You brought me to life. Now every February, you'll be my Valentine, Valentine. Let's go all the way tonight. No regrets, just love. We can dance until we die. You and I will be young forever. Only Katy Perry can write so thinly veiled a metaphor, right? She just comes right out and says it in there.
Yeah.
It's called Teenage Dream, but it's about doing it.
Yeah.
All her songs are about doing it. Seriously.
But do you ever feel like you're a paper thin bag flying in the wind?
I've seen Sometimes. American Beauty many, many times. And I do not.
That's the opening line to Katie's new single, Firework.
Yeah. Is it? Gosh, I'm shocked to say that I've not heard it.
No, don't be upset. It's okay.
Okay, good.
The video is sweet, though. And there's some controversy because there's like a couple kissing and like MTV blurred it out. But MTV remains irrelevant while... So whatever.
Was she jogging with a Muppet?
No.
I think it's funny that MTV would blur something out in a music video because it means they showed a music video.
I know, right?
Did you know that was possible? So, you know, I'm a huge a cappella music fan, and I know Jennifer is partial to it as well. And so it was really cool to hear a purely a cappella performance on the show. And I enjoyed this one a lot. I mean, this is one of my favorites of the on the show. I definitely see myself coming back to this one more than really anything else in this episode. Surely, I don't particularly like their mashups, but we'll get to that later. So we had a little bit of Darren Criss. His character Blaine was helping Kurt kind of deal with being the only out gay person or a gay man in his high school. And of course, the harassing of Karofsky, who turned out to be, a homosexual in denial, I guess is the way to put that. I don't know how I felt about this plotline, and I want to throw it out to you guys. Like, how did we feel about Karofsky and Kurt in this episode, Jennifer?
You know, I don't even really know what to say. I mean, it was so shocking, but so done so well. I'm still kind of processing some of it, I think. I'm not surprised. I mean, that's one way to explain that type of bullying. I don't think that's, you know, why all bullies do that. But
it's almost too cliche. Like, it was almost too easy for the show to go there. They went there well.
They did it really well, they did it in a very surprising, unexpected, shocking way.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's an extremely dangerous statement to make, to say the most homophobic guy in school is probably gay.
Like, right. And but I mean, Well, I mean, they throughout the show, they dealt with different types of bullying. So it wasn't just homophobic behavior. It was other levels. So maybe, you know, in this particular case, this is why that person did it. And, you know, in that these other cases, that's why they did it. So, yeah, I thought it was really well done. What are you looking at me?
No. I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, you gave me that scrunchy look. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh no, I was giving that look to Ed, who was not in the room.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I guess I agree with you. I think it was really well done. I guess what I struggled with is one that I think it was an extremely cliched concept where the homophobic guy is actually, you know, in denial and gay. And also I thought it was kind of an oddly dangerous statement to make in a very touchy subject right now, the you know, bullying and harassment of young homosexual people. It is a really horrible thing that, you know, obviously is going on. And to kind of make the statement that, like, oh, but, you know, they're probably gay themselves is a little too, I don't know, that makes me uncomfortable. Ed, how did you feel about Kurowski and Kurt in this episode?
I mean, it was a little cliche. I do agree with you, Josh. And I was shocked when it happened. But upon looking back, I shouldn't have been shocked. I remember, like, texting my friend and be like, what just happened? And then she and then Julie responded, you saw the kiss, didn't you? Relax. I like how you're psycho like that. And I don't know. It was just what it was. I don't know if it makes any real statement. And, like, I don't think people are going to read that in depth with it. But it does... It is something about bullies, like, tend to have some insecurity. Like, it's not obvious every bully's gay, but maybe it gives another dimension to his character, because otherwise... And I was literally reading an interview from Kurowski about this, and he said that his, like, before this, he felt like his character was so flat and didn't, like, there was no reason for him to be so mean. But now the insecurity kind of has now, like, two layers instead of one.
But it is kind of funny that the actor who plays Kurowski would be complaining that his character is too flat. I'm like, you've had three lines. You walk in and you hit someone against the wall and you leave.
Well,
hey, what? That's flat.
Exactly. But that's not a character.
Well,
he has a name, but it doesn't make him a character.
You need to get over yourself, Josh.
Well, I'm happy to see Glee. You know, Glee this season really seems to want to address a lot of issues, and that is the one kind of recurring thing. I know each episode we seem to have addressed a different issue that's very relevant in society today,
What's funny about this? I have a feeling that the overall mastermind Glee plot is to be a whole bunch of cute after-school specials in the end.
Yeah, in a way. I mean, they're doing it in a slightly different format, but yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it's more... Sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Okay, I was saying this because in class, I've been watching lots of Stephen Colbert clips. I was like, I wonder if he...
Oh, you broke up there.
You broke up again.
You said, I wonder if he...
Oh, I wonder if he planned for this to be... For educational clips or anything like that. I don't know. That's all. So I was wondering if Glee was thinking that. Like, are they planning for education?
Like little mini PSAs in a way.
Well, that is kind of a funny idea. You know, that when you watch clips of Glee, they are reasonably encapsulated. You know, when we would go to Q&As and they would show like highlights from the season of Glee. It was pretty easy for them to find encapsulated moments to show in these clips. So you never know. But so there, that's pretty much all there is to say about Kurt. It was an interesting plot line. Yeah. And we got the mashups again, the return of mashups, which kind of just continues this concept of season two mirroring season one thus far.
But the mashup was even as close to as good as Halo Walking in Sunshine or Confessions and Confessions. I can't think of the other one, but exactly. The other
it's
two
my life.
Were so much better, and I'm probably breaking up. So whatever.
No, you no, totally no. Are. We heard you completely that time. Maybe it's the, you know, the passion and the intensity.
There you go.
You're just going to keep that going and we'll have a steady stream.
True story.
So the thing, I totally agree with you, actually, Ed. I thought that neither of the mashups in this episode were very good. They were kind of fun, and you know, I like the idea of, like, the girls singing boy songs and the boys singing girl songs. It was a cute idea, but I didn't think either of the mashups held up to the ones that we got last season. Jennifer?
Oh, no, it was horrible. And the thing I kept thinking about, like, the girls one was so blended. It you never got enough of one or the other.
Yeah.
It was really, or maybe just because the songs were so similar in a way. I mean, the performances were fun to watch. The choreography and then, you know, the way the rest of the team or the group was responding to the performances. I liked how they fit into the show, but the songs themselves I thought were kind of clumsy, kind of weak.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with either of them. I didn't think either of them blended very well either. The Start Me Up and Living on a Prayer, they seemed to kind of like, they kind of conflicted, and then Stop in the Name of Light and Free Your Mind. I mean, it was essentially like they sang Stop in the Name of Love, and then they had a break in the middle where they did Free Your Mind, and then they did Stop in the Name of Love at the end. They didn't really feel joined at all. But the concept behind the mashups, I did think was kind of fun, and you know, they're definitely trying to play with gender roles and social roles and class roles. I mean, that seems to be a recurring theme this season as well. Last season being much more of kind of be yourself and love yourself and that, and this season being more kind of a like brotherhood and love each other and you know, learning about one another and being a family. So I definitely get what they were going for, but I didn't particularly like either of the mashups at all. But I guess we could listen to one. Shall we do that? Anybody?
The female one was much better than the guy one, for sure.
I prefer the guy one, actually. I don't know. But let's.
I liked the girls better.
Oh, there you go.
Well, also, they were more fun to watch.
So majority, we win. We're not going to deadlock. Sorry,
that's what it comes
Tracy.
Down to. All right, well, let's go ahead and listen to the girls then. This is Start Me Up and Living on a Prayer. So it was a cool number, though. I like the choreography. I like the music. I like the leather pants. I liked the lighting. So, you know, it was a good number.
Oh, okay.
I like the
choreography. The stage production minus the song.
Yeah, in the stage production. There was one weird camera filter in the middle
yes!
of this song. Jennifer,
oh, yeah, I totally know what you're talking about, where like it went all blurry for a second. I was like, what's that about?
I feel like we were playing Rock Band or something. It was really weird.
Which, by the way, is awesome.
Oh,
Rock Band
3
is awesome. You have to get it. Everyone needs to get Rockman 3. So it was a cool number, but I didn't particularly like the song. You know, we had in this episode, we had Puck came back from juvie. Apparently he had paid his debt to society. Ed, you were happy to see Puck back?
Yeah, I mean, why not? I was sad. I mean, I wasn't sad, but he was an element of the show missing, and he was required for going to sectionals. As you know, we need Puck to compete.
That is true.
Without Puck, we'd be 11.
So we got a couple more emails after our comments last week about Mercedes and being Frankenfurter. A couple more people weighing in and saying that she really wasn't good as Frankenfurter. But we did get one email from someone who said she wished Puck was Frankenfurter. And I guess this is actually a thing on the internet, because the listener actually attached an image that someone had drawn of Puck as Frankenfurter.
Wow.
So, you know, they kind of missed an opportunity there. I think that this this movement has some legs to it, because I think that would have been a good fit. That would have been funny to see Puck come out in that outfit and very, you know, uncomfortably go through Sweet Transvestite. I don't think he has a voice for the song, but it would have been entertaining.
Well, maybe they thought of, I'm sure the idea crossed their mind. I find it hard to believe that they didn't think of it. But
he could have done an acoustic version.
There you go.
Broke out his guitar.
That seems to be his thing. He always gets out his guitar and he does the acoustic version of the song. So he came back from juvie, and as part of his, I say juvie like I'm from the street. So he came back from juvenile hall and juvenile detention, and he had to perform community service. Apparently he wrote on his community service form that he was going to be helping out the Crips.
Hanging with a Crip.
That's what
Hanging
it was.
Hanging with a Crip.
And
so bad.
And then obviously D'Angelo Barksdale's mom was there to play the cop.
Yeah, to play his caseworker, because she thought that he was doing community outreach with local gangs.
So we've got now Puck, and we've got Artie here, kind of as a relationship. We also have Artie and Brittany. I get a sense they're trying to give us more Artie. I get a sense that they're trying to bring Artie into the fold of main characters. He kind of got forgotten towards the end of last season in the rush of, you know, Jesse St. James and the baby and everything. We lost Sydney. Artie and Tina, and there seems to be a distinct effort to give us more Artie and Tina this season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I would say that they were two of the main quote-unquote glee cast from last season. They were the two that were probably lacking the most.
Well, I mean, it's a good thing they got rid of Matt. Now they have all that extra screen time for them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, let's not talk about that.
I feel bad. I do feel bad for him. But it was kind of cool. It was an unlikely but somewhat logical friendship.
It's funny to see Artie, you know, Artie and Tina was cute, but Artie and Brittany, or Artie and Puck, just to show pairings, not romantic,
right,
is extremely way more entertaining.
Yeah.
I'd much rather see Artie trying to, like, keep up with Puck. That's far more entertaining than just watching him be the world's worst boyfriend.
And I totally didn't get this until the second time watching, but the first scene with Puck pushing Artie down the hall, Artie is saying, okay, please just, you know, use the back stairs because, you know, the fall will be the same, but there'll be less people there. And I'm thinking, why does Artie want Puck to push him down the stairs? And then when I watch it the second time, I'm like, oh, wait a second. Puck just kind of comes out of nowhere and starts pushing him.
Yeah.
And he assumes he's going to get hurled down a flight of stairs.
I also can find it kind of funny that Puck is like, you know, he said so many times how he actually likes the Glee Club and how he, you know, is actually, you know, he's stuck up for the Glee Club in the past. But they still assume he's going to do evil all the time. They still just assume that, you know, you can't change a scorpion. It's just kind of hilarious that way.
Well, I mean, in everything he says and does by, like, ending up in juvie, he's shown them that's still in him. I mean, in you know, Dining and Dashing, I mean, that, yeah, he still has that bad boy streak to him.
Now, before Puck went to juvenile detention,
say juvie.
Before Puck went to juvie, it seemed like the worst he did was like mouth off and, you know, bang cougars.
Or when did he become a criminal? Excessive amounts of pot and sell them to children, or that.
Or
when did he do that?
Wait,
when did he do that?
People in the dumpster.
That was totally last season.
He bought pot and sold it to children?
The pot brownies or cupcakes for their bake sale to raise money for...
Oh, that's right.
Sectionals or regionals.
So take Puck off your mantle. Like he's
No. He's not on a mantle. I just think... I mean, there seems to be... Puck made a leap between, like, mischief and...
crime,
larceny, you know.
I don't exactly consider the thing that got him into juvie like characteristic Puck, but it wasn't like it was that surprising.
It was like a logical next step.
Like, well, okay, I believe it.
Okay.
I mean, the man knocked over an ATM. Like, seriously.
We all knew, like Santana, we all knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know when.
Okay. I loved Santana. Well, we'll talk about that later. So we've got Artie and Puck. It was kind of fun to see them. Artie apparently is still in love with Brittany and wanting to get Brittany back.
Which, I mean, I think... it's kind of, I was surprised because I was expecting him to, after, you know, losing his virginity to Brittany, I thought, you know, for sure he was going to, like, fight harder for Tina.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it seemed like after he got over the initial shock of just being one of many that she's been with, he seems to think that there is something there. So I think that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I think that's sweet. I mean, I think, well, then that also means more Brittany screen time. So that's nice.
during the teen rom-com fad of the late 90s, there was this movie I saw in college, and it was kind of an update of Cyrano de Bergerac.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy giving the other guy advice about how to pick up girls, he says, go up to her and tell her she looks fat in those jeans. And he was like, that she's going to need your affection after that. This is the best pickup line ever.
Really?
I never tried it. I'm just saying.
Well, obviously, because you have all your teeth. But I don't think I don't think that girls are really that stupid. Although, well...
Brittany and Santana. Yes.
Hey, you know what? There was a chance that they were going to get breadsticks out of it, so.
Yeah, and these are the things you do for breadsticks. So it was nice to see them together. There's not much to talk about as far as Artie and Puck. It's just kind of, it'll be interesting to see how that develops. I look forward to seeing that that take shape.
I did think it was interesting, though, at the end of the episode, how... you know, with the whole theme of the show being about bullying, that Puck finally came clean about, you know, his experience.
Yeah.
And him being bullied, where he's always trying to poke. Well, he always was the bully. He, you know, was throwing Kurt in the dumpster in the very first episode. So he's always been mean like that. But it was interesting to see how it affected him and to see what he would do to avoid it.
It's a good point. Yeah, I didn't really make that connection, but that's a really good point.
So
to see the tables turned on Puck.
Yeah.
We got an email from listener Sarah, who had made a comment, particularly I think it was inspired by this particular episode where Puck was in the principal's office talking to the principal and his parole officer, whoever that was. And
party in Ed's room.
Yeah, the party in Ed's room continues. Did we lose you, Ed? You still there?
I'm still here, sorry.
I was going to say, we heard the party.
Yeah, we heard the party.
Oh, I ignore them.
We didn't know if you'd left.
No, nah.
Doing keg stands in the corner in between.
No, That'd be super awkward. I might have a pint later.
Oh.
Well,
okay, sorry.
Listener Sarah emailed and she said, where are these kids' parents when they go to the principal's office? It seems that Mr. Shu always gets called down and has to be a parental stand-in. When I know for sure at my school, at least my parents would be notified.
Actually,
it's kind of funny.
It is true, but you know what? The other thing, the other person that was always in the room was the guidance counselor. So where's Emma? I mean, why is it always Mr. Shu having to answer for them? That's, although he does that look, you know, shock and awe really well.
Emma is at Rocky Horror.
Emma's getting her teeth drilled.
Yeah, she is. So, we're gonna need
an R rating on this episode.
after Puck and Artie, we of course have the Beast, and Beast, whose first name is Shannon. I don't know if that got mentioned before, but I caught it.
Yep.
So the Beast was in this episode, and we learned that the characters, the guys and Tina, when they need to quote cool off, they would think of the Beast, and that would cool them off. It was an interesting plot line, this one, because obviously the show's dealt with sexual issues and you know, made jokes about teen sexuality in the past. And that wasn't the shocking part. The shocking part was, I don't know, it was just the whole thing was very uncomfortable. I mean, at times, you know, you can see like how they came to this mental leap, but at the same time, you can see how hurtful it would be from her perspective. So the whole plot line, like watching it the first time, I found really uncomfortable in a good way, not knowing when I was supposed to be laughing and when I wasn't.
Yeah, it was mean in a different way than, you know, getting a slushie in the face or getting shoved into a locker.
Yeah,
it was a different level of mean that they really haven't. I mean, they may have addressed, but it never at such length. And
well, it's like when Mr. Schuster confronted them about it, and they all kind of said, "We didn't mean to hurt her."
And it's like it wasn't personal.
Yeah, it wasn't personal. And you know, to us, like, on the one hand, it wasn't, but on the other hand, it's like it's one of those jokes that's really funny until the person finds out.
And how could it not be personal? I mean, yeah. There's no other way to look at that.
I kept thinking this whole plot line reminded me a lot of like internet comments, like, oh no, they didn't, for example, which is like, you can say and think and, you know, make all of these statements about a person when they're not in the room. But as soon as they're in the room, then you're like, wow, I feel really bad for what I did. And that was kind of, I think, it was kind of the statement of the whole Beast storyline in this one, is that, yeah, you know, to them by themselves, this joke was really funny, but until when she was actually there and when she actually knew, you were like, oh my gosh, it's not really funny at all. It's actually, you know, it's actually kind of a horrible way to think of a person. It was a really heavy storyline. It's odd, you know. It was interesting. I don't know, Ed, to save me here. How did you feel about Beast in this episode?
I appreciated having her back, firstly, and
I don't know.
The story is logical as anything else in Glee, I suppose. I don't. I mean, it was maybe. I don't know. I suppose since it wasn't me, I wasn't as offended by it, but I could see how it could be offensive. So. I don't know. I guess that's where I stand.
It's a tough one, but you make a good point. Dot Jones, it's cool to have her back. I love having her on the show. She's such an interesting kind of... She's kind of innocent in a way. It's like there's a certain innocence to her being there, you know... beneath the gruff exterior, and also just the fact that, like, she's a reasonably straight shooter surrounded by Sylvester and Schuster, who are totally manipulative.
Yeah. And being self-serving in that way.
Oh, exactly. And so it was she's just a nice kind of other element to have there. It's better than Tanaka. Like, Tanaka was kind of a clown that would run through and tell jokes and make trouble and then, you know, gallop off into the distance. But Coach Beast really seems to kind of be funny but also be able to carry weight at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, she has, you know, a winning football team now. But I think the other thing I really love about her is her one-liners. Yes. She's like, you crap on my leg and I'll cut it off. It's like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And it's like almost like she's getting the good one-liners now.
Diana Agron actually had a good reaction on that line of just a, just a split second of like, I don't know what that meant.
But it was, it was so uncomfortable watching it as it was unfolding in the show, and I'm glad they made amends and apologized to her, and that she's going to stay on the show because she has such heart and such genuine care. I mean, we've seen that with Will, and he gets a little misguided, and definitely with Sue, and she gets a little misguided, but. You know, again, Shannon doesn't have that. She's just, yeah, like you said, she's just a straight shooter.
Yeah. So nice. Listener Megan emailed in, and her comment about Coach Beast was, she's my favorite character because there are so many sides to her. She's vulnerable and afraid, but is tough because she thinks she has to be. And however sweet it was of Mr. Shu to kiss her, she really could have done better. He probably has mono. I was waiting for that one listener to email nice. In and say it was a really sweet moment, but it was kind of weird to watch. And so I was expecting Megan to go that direction, but no, Mr. Schuster probably has mono. It was an interesting moment, you know, the kiss between her and Schuster. I kind of saw it coming from a mile away, but when it finally came, I thought it was pretty sweet, and you know, and she seemed to take it well, and he seemed to have the right intentions. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like he was just like, see, so that's done. You know, it was more kind of like, hey, this is, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's not something to really be all that afraid of. So I appreciated it for that.
Well, I mean, I never got the impression that she was afraid of it. I think she just felt like it was something that was fundamentally missing in her life. Mm-hmm. just one of those things, like, you know, like if you didn't go to your senior prom, you'd always think, you know, my life would have been so different if I had gone to my senior prom.
Probably not really, no, I
agreed with you, but then I really no
but that's what I'm saying, but you wouldn't know that. So if you haven't been kissed, or if you haven't been in a relationship, you're gonna have it built up in your mind like, oh my God, my life would have been so different if I hadn't had this experience.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Deep.
Deep, yeah.
Nicely done.
Thank
Good
you.
Turnaround there.
Yeah.
So my favorite...
Thanks for following.
I had two favorite moments in this episode, but the first one I have to mention, because I know, Ed, it had to be on your list as well.
Uh-oh.
Glitter cannons.
Oh, that was
confetti
sweet.
Confetti cannons.
That was sweet. That was pretty sweet. I was like, oh, I need to stage this for myself one day.
He just, as soon as I saw those, I'm like, those are going to go off and it's going to be awesome.
How did you know they were going to shoot confetti?
Well, she said that they were confetti cannons. Oh, you just assumed they might shoot something. Oh, from the wedding? You really obscure reference there.
No, your high school extracurricular activity.
Oh, yes, because I was a cheerleader in high school. You want to talk about that now?
No,
you never pass up an opportunity to drop that.
Okay, I was on the bowling team.
So the confetti cannons were awesome, though the scene in which they were used was just about as depressing as they come. That was hilarious. And Sue had some great lines in that one, like when she says, you know, Beast quit, but I'm still going to take the W. That was...
Oh, and her maniacal laugh as the confetti slowly falling around her. Yeah, only a little bit of Sue this week, but it was still nice.
Always a winner. My other favorite moment in this episode was Will's line when he was talking to Beast. I think it was when he was trying to convince her to come back, when he says, the only thing to mess us up more than our parents is high school. Which is so true.
Oh God,
it's the worst 4 years of your life. If you're in high school right now, just remember that. Just remember it's all up from here.
It's so bad.
It's all up from there. Seriously.
Okay.
I want you to pick the person you know for whom high school was the best 4 years of their life. They're probably working in a gas station.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's the best. It's not the worst. It's
true.
I wasn't arguing the fact that it was your best 4 years. So that obviously not. But it's not your. It shouldn't be your worst.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I should, because you know. But I maybe I'm an exception. I'll admit. Just saying. It's most overrated.
People's memories soften over the years.
Yeah, mine got harder and harder and harder.
Zachary Levi.
Okay.
So anyway. So,
oh my goodness, I have to wait. I need to remove all sharp objects from Josh.
Let's go ahead and take a listen to Stop in the Name of Love and Free Your Mind as it was performed to Coach Beast. And at the end, already had a really cute kind of like, come here for a hug. That was my favorite part. Here's a bit of Stop in the Name of Love and Free Your Mind. Let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. We got a couple other funny emails that are worth mentioning. Oh, what channel?
Sorry, we kind of, the title of the episode is Never Been Kissed.
Yes.
And we just talked about Beast's first kiss. We didn't really identify that as Kurt's first kiss. And
yes,
I think,
that's true.
So, in addition to just the whole shock and amazement of Karofsky. His gesture, it was just so heartbreaking that, you know, now this is Kurt's first kiss.
Yeah.
And that's now his, you know, that'll be his memory, so.
That's a downer.
I'm sorry. I just thought that was important to acknowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing.
True. So anyway, I don't know where to go from there. Ed, do you want to save me on this?
He has a really nice friend and mentor.
That's true.
In Blaine, he's cute.
When I saw Harry Potter meet a very Potter, but like, oh, this person is not cute at all. But once you get rid of the curly hair, boy, was I wrong.
Well, I did read an interview with him, and he was saying how, you know, he usually has long hair when he goes to auditions and brings his guitar, and then when the character was explained to him as a Tom Ford type, he's like, okay, I cleaned myself up, got my hair cut, slicked it back, didn't bring the guitar, wore nice clothes.
Tom Ford?
The designer. Who also directed Single Man.
I got nothing. I know the movie. I know the name.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he looks like.
Oh, he's very handsome.
Whoa.
Very handsome.
That was loud.
Is that your party, Ed? Or your noisy neighbors?
Yeah, the party.
No, it was my roommate's party. I'm not.
Wow. Okay.
Well, we got an email from listener Logan who pointed out that they apparently never close the door to the choir room anymore. He said, is it just me or have the doors to the choir room been removed? So
that might be one of Sue's policies.
Yes, maybe it is.
That's funny.
He also pointed out that at one point they show, or at one point Kurt looked at his phone and had 124 emails. So there you go. But anyway, that's about it for us and it for Never Been Kissed. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can check out the website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. Or you can go to the Facebook fan page where Ed... Are you still chatting on that one, Ed, with the fans?
I've been a little bit less lately, but I'm still on there. I'm still reading. I'm still chatting and stuff like that.
Very cool. And, Ed, did you want to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes, I'd like to thank CIA 1995, Erica Brown, Stexgal 520, John Olson, maybe Rebecca. Yeah, Rebecca Bryan. Okay, thank you very much for reviewing our podcast. Feel free to review it some more, because why not? I read them. I get warm fuzzies when you tell me that I'm your favorite. So,
yeah, I get warm fuzzies too.
Can I have closing thoughts on the episode? Am I allowed?
What'd you say?
Can I have closing thoughts on the episode?
You, let's see. Yes, you can absolutely have closing thoughts on the episode.
Okay. I think Tina's outfits lately have been fantabulous. This, especially this season. That's all.
Well, those are great closing thoughts for the Cleveland Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shutting down all over the world except for when the monsoon strikes. Peace out, Ongly.
Is that your name? Like, should we just... Because I just said I'm Josh and I'm Jennifer, and then you talked about a monsoon striking.
Okay, where is Sunshine? That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Sunny.
I'll tell you where she is. She's performing at an outlet mall next weekend. About 4 miles from our house.
I've literally talked about her 10 times the amount of time she's been on the show.
What is that
about, Sunshine? Sunshine.
I thought it was Sunny.
Sunny. I don't care.
Oh, but I think it's short for Sunshine.
I mean, whatever. Sunny, Sunshine. Either way, she's not there. It doesn't matter.
I know.
I thought she was going to be a regular.
I thought
so,
too.
What happened to that lie?
Maybe she's coming back. Who knows?
She best be there.
And Cayenne.
Yeah, what about Cheyenne? He had like two lines.
Sorry.
Crazy
I know.
Talk.
Well, then, when we get closer to sectionals and regionals and all that, nationals and...
Yeah, they'll all come back.
Yeah.
We'll get back.
Like Josh Groban and Olivia Newton-John. That'd be sweet.
That would be awesome. I'll take Josh Groban, as long as he's not singing. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Ed, good night, everyone.
Good night.
Only jazz hands, right?
Only jazz hands. Yes. I've been Ed. Peace out. Together. Right. On Zoom. Terry next week.
Good point. Good catch.